very, very psyched, so genuinely, to tell you about a product that I have come to know and love during my time with this podcast. And everybody knows I love their underwear. You've been hearing me talk about this, and I'm not ashamed to talk about it because it's true. I'm doing my show off Broadway. It's a nerve-wracking thing. Opening night, you know what I put on? Mack Weldon, because I know if I get the Mack Weldon under my pants, I feel more confident. That is totally true. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabric, simple shopping. It was so easy. It's super comfortable. I love the underwear. They also got socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants. You're going to love them. They got a line, the silver underwear and shirts. They're naturally antimicrobial, help with the odors. If you don't like that first pair you get, you keep it. They'll still refund you. No questions asked. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well too, okay? You work out in them, you go to work, dates, whatever you want. I wear them when I need to feel confident. Go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off using promo code BEAUTIFUL. Trying to tell your story to the world? MailChimp can help. For free, I have been a MailChimp user for years, well before I even started this podcast, let alone before they started advertising. So you can trust me when I say it is a great service. They've got gorgeous pre-designed email templates. You can also code your own. I've done it, and I'm not good at that type of thing. That's how easy they make it. They'll show you how to send, when you should send, why people open an email or click delete. They'll help you find your people and grow your business. It has worked for me. I bet it will work for you too. MailChimp can help you tell your story effectively and find people who care about it. More at MailChimp.com. Hello world, and specifically this time, South Korea, I think will be very interested. Beautiful Anonymous, it's 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun. And I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hey everybody, Chris Gethard here, aka The Giraffe, as you all now insist on calling me on Twitter after our Halloween episode. This call I found very illuminating because this caller has been through a number of things that I have not been through. An intense process. Adoption. If you're someone who's thought about adopting or you're someone who's in the process of doing it, I bet hearing this guy's experience is going to help answer some questions about how it goes, and specifically the emotional impact of all that. It was really cool to hear all about it, and caller, thank you for letting us know about this specific life experience that you're right in the thick of. Enjoy the call.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Chris.
Yeah.
I'm great. It's a pleasure to hear your voice, man.
Thanks. And I hear that you didn't even wait for the tweet. You were sitting on hold before we even tweeted out.
Chris, I've been wanting to talk to you so badly. I've been dialing that number at random times, just hoping that you happen to tweet it out. Somewhere around that.
Wow, you got lucky that time.
And it happened.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I don't encourage people to just randomly call. I promise we tweet it out, but your example now, I think a lot of people are going to start behaving in this same OCD fashion.
I know. I apologize.
No apologies.
I just upped the ante. But I've been wanting to talk to you because, well, I'm kind of in a really crazy space in my life right now, and just the perfect time to anonymously talk to somebody whom I respect. Chris, I just want to say right off the bat that I really am honored to be talking to you. I'm such a fan of your show. The first time I heard your voice ever was on that podcast, The Longest Shortest Time. I started listening to that because I just began the process with my wife of adopting a child from foreign country.
Oh, wow.
And it's quite a crazy experience doing that. That podcast, you were answering questions that kids tweeted out, or, you know, kids were asking or whatever. I guess they weren't tweeting, but whatever. The fact is, I just started looking you up and listening to interviews, whatever, and then found that you were doing this podcast, and I've just been a diehard fan ever since. And the reason why I sort of tuned into Longest Shortest Mile is because I hear I'm going to be a father in the near future. And it's kind of an interesting show. So it's just kind of I somehow in my brain have connected you to this process that I'm in right now.
Oh, wow.
And
So
thanks.
No, please.
For being there.
It's my pleasure. So you're in the process of adopting?
Yes. So like last fall, just about a year ago, we decided to do it. And it's really kind of a crazy process. It's, they really want to make sure that, like, you know, you are who you say you are and that you're not going to, you know, you're not some sort of psycho. So there's all sorts of background checks and like a ridiculous amount of paperwork, like as much paperwork as I had, like closing on my house, for example.
Wow.
It was like probably 10 times that.
Wow.
So yeah, just crazy. And, but probably the most intense aspect of the whole process is happening right now, which is we've done everything we need to do. We've, all our paperwork is in. We've paid insane amounts of money to do this thing. And now all we're doing is waiting. And we're not even waiting for a specific date. We're waiting to find out when we're going to take these two trips to South Korea. First, to meet our son, who we already are in love with, which is a very strange feeling to be in love with somebody that you've never met or they have no idea about your existence at all. And then the second trip would be to bring him home.
Wow.
So right now it's sort of like within the next, let's say, any day now, right now I could get a call, telling me that in 1 month I've got to get to Seoul, with my wife to meet our child, but that could be 1 month. It could be 6 months.
Wow.
So it's sort of like this waiting period with no end in sight. And man, I'll tell you, it fucks with your head.
I can imagine, man. I can imagine. I got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with this. What led to the decision to adopt? How did you decide to go this particular route?
Good question. Yeah, my wife and I have always been interested in the idea of adoption ever since we like started talking about having kids. We've got two dogs that we've adopted that, you know, we just love to death. And, you know, we got them from the SPCA and we always loved the idea that, you know, there's these beings out there in need of love. And, you know, why isn't that our first, you know, option? So we've been talking about it for a while and, we went to some sort of informational sessions about it and, we knew we wanted to do it, but it sort of, the logistics of it financially were kind of difficult. I mean, it's very, very expensive. It's upwards of $50,000 by the time all is said and done, to do this thing, which, you know, we do all right, but that's kind of crazy. So, we hadn't really done anything about it. And then, actually my wife ended up getting pregnant and we were sort of like, okay, well, there's our answer. That's what we're going to be doing. I was very, very excited about, the prospects of being a dad and that she was pregnant. And she was too, although I don't think she never really wanted to be pregnant ever since I met her. It's not like some women, I think, really want that and really love the idea of it. And it's a, you know, beautiful thing. And of course, it is a beautiful thing. But my wife isn't one of those people. She just wasn't into it. And but she was, you know, when she got pregnant, she was, of course, on board. But unfortunately, that ended in a miscarriage, which
I'm sorry,
was
man.
tough. Yeah, it was, thanks. It was a really tough, time to get through. I mean, I remember very distinctly, driving home from the, appointment where, you know, we were all excited to go and, you know, like see the heartbeat again on the screen. And, you know, they had to tell us that there was no heartbeat and, you know, sort of let that sink in. And it was intense. And, I mean, I remember driving home, we took separate cars. So I was like by myself, and, you know, we're just by ourselves driving separately, you know, digesting this. And I remember very distinctly deciding that, that if there was God out there, that I was no longer, you know, on good terms. I mean, I really lost my faith, and that lasted a little while. So, you know, we kind of got through that, and, you know, we got through it okay. You know, it was a strain, I think, on us individually and our relationship, but, we figured it out. And then, you know, once we were sort of healed, you know, to a degree, I guess, we started thinking about things again. And I'll tell you, it just was another reminder that when things are supposed to happen a certain way, you know, they do. And thinking back, I can't even remember like the sort of turning point where we're like, yes, we're definitely going to do this again. And we're going to apply for this. And we're going to figure out the money. It just sort of one thing fell into place after the other. We sort of figured out a way to finance it. And, you know, we had ups and downs with that, but we just sort of, I want to say lucky, but that's not the right word for it. Just things just kind of fell into place. And, next thing you know, we get a referral for this little boy who lives, you know, on the other side of the earth. And, you know, they sent us pictures and, you know, description of who he was. And we just really instantly felt connected to this kid. And it was a no-brainer that we would accept the referral. And I'll tell you one thing that helped as far as like, oh man, this is really meant to be, is that this little guy is actually born on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I saw that and I just, that was it for me. I was in. So that's sort of how it happened. And see, now looking back at where we were with the miscarriage, it's like now you kind of see how, you know, we're going to fly across the world to find our son. And it seems like it's such a clear connection that we're absolutely meant to be this kid's parents. And then you think back to how awful it was to go through that miscarriage. And the reality is that miscarriage never happened. There's no way we would be, I mean, it's possible that we would have adopted at some point, but certainly we wouldn't be adopting this kid.
Yeah.
And this is our kid. So now we can look back and say that was okay. You know, that was a horrible time emotionally, but God damn it, that, you know, we needed that to happen in order to get to where we are now.
Definitely.
And so I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
So you said the miscarriage incident, you were religious and then it shook your faith. Did you find your faith again? Were you like particularly religious before?
Yeah. No, I mean, religious, I've never been terribly religious per se. I mean, I have a Jewish background and I certainly have connections to Judaism in a cultural sort of way. You know, I like to, we celebrate holidays and get together with family and friends for those things. But like in terms of God, I guess I've had, you know, kind of ambiguous ideas about what God is and the nature of the universe and what happens when we die and all that stuff. But I've always had kind of a sense that there was something more. But when that happened, I think I just felt like a bug or like an animal or a dead leaf, or like we're just part of the system and there's nothing makes any sense. And we're just going through, we're a cog in the machine and all these bad things are going to happen to everybody. And, there's nothing makes any sense, that sort of thing. I really just kind of lost the sense that there was something more important or something deeper happening. But then once, I can't say that it was like a flip of a switch, but there was definitely a ramping up to kind of the other extreme of that, where, I mean, I found myself like, you know, I don't know, for me, a lot of my spirituality comes from kind of a meditative music, even like just kind of weird music, you know, and I'm a musician. And so I've found myself kind of back where I once was, but with a kind of a more intense purpose or more intense feeling of, you know, being able to kind of go into my head and feel a connection to something else, you know.
That's cool, man.
Probably not making a lot of sense, but you know, just yeah, I definitely reclaimed what I lost spiritually.
Now,
sure.
Here's a weird question, kind of meta for this podcast. Most people call this show, there's a lot of people like sorting it out on the phone with me. You sound like someone who's very much at peace with how all of these things have landed and turned out. So I'm wondering, and I mean this in a very way out of just curiosity, no judgment at all. So why, you just call this number at random times. It seems like emotionally you've hit a place. Like, I would think that a caller of this show who's calling at random times is about to unload with a lot of angst and not having it sorted out. But you seem like you've landed in such a very zen place about all this. I think that's really cool. But it's also, I'm a little surprised.
We're still talking about the time of this, the point of in this process where, you know, I things turned out fine and everything's good. And the, you know, I kind of have a path and feel better about the situation, but, where I am right this minute is really kind of, you know, it's funny. When I was waiting online, I was waiting on the phone to talk to you. I mean, I waited a long time. I think I had every reason to, because as you say, I didn't really follow the rules, but I mean, I was waiting for like an hour and a half more. And
again, that is your fault, my friend.
No, I take full responsibility.
You just call a random phone number when the phone's not even on.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're going to sit for a while.
I'm so happy. Yeah. No, I got really lucky and I'm delighted. No complaints. But that wait where it was like, I mean, I was texting with my wife, like, dude, you know, sort of like saying how long I've been waiting and kind of freaking out because I talked to your producer. I knew I'd be maybe talking to you, but I didn't know how long of a wait it would be. And I didn't know for sure that it would happen. So that felt in a way in sort of a very small, you can't really compare, but it made me think of this like endless waiting, you know, this waiting period of this, like, I don't know, I have no end in sight, but something awesome could very well happen. And
you're saying your experience of calling this show is in a very tiny way a perfect analogy for your experience of bringing a human life into your household from across the world.
That's it, Chris.
Wow. I've never felt more important.
Yeah.
I've never felt
but so and it's pretty strange. But then here's the thing, man. It's that feeling that I have about the larger thing. You know, I mean, it's one thing to wait on the line. You know, I could have hung up and been disappointed and went about my day. But here I'm about to have the biggest change happen in my life. I mean, I have so much freedom right now. I have so much time and space to be with my wife and to just kind of do whatever we want to do. And, you know, financially, everything kind of makes sense. But my whole world is going to get turned upside down in a very positive way. But I am riddled with anxiety and stress. And as awesome as this is, what's going to happen? I mean, Jesus, going to South Korea on a sort of a breakneck trip, just like go there and take, go to like the courts there and like be, it's just going to be the craziest situation. That's going to happen twice. And then all of a sudden we're going to have this kid and it's going to be a crazy adjustment for him, man. Imagine being, you know, these kids, they say that when you get adopted, when you have these international adoptions where, you know, these strange looking people, you know, cause you know, we look different than what he's used to. Mm-hmm. We're going to, not to mention the fact that I'm 6'5" with a big old beard. I look like completely different from anybody that's over there. I mean, that's not entirely true, but I'm sure it's going to be kind of weird. And all of a sudden he's just going to be ripped up from what he's used to. And it feels like they're being kidnapped, we've been told.
Wow. And how old, so, you know, how old is the been, boy you're adopting?
He'll be 2 in, well, on my birthday. So he'll be 2 in the wintertime.
Wow. You were saying that...
And we hope to get him before then.
You were saying something, I think, about there's been... It sounded like you were going to say there's been studies or something like that about the kidnapping effect.
Well, just that... Yeah, well, just that we've been sort of told that we need to be mindful of the fact that it's just going to be a really tough transition because there have been, we've heard stories from people that we've talked to that we've been sort of hooked up with through the adoption agency just to, for, you know, sort of information gathering. They told us stories about how they would watch. There's like a park that's near the adoption agency or like a foster home complex or whatever out in Seoul. And that it was a common sight to see little kids running, screaming, trying to escape their new parents, because they think that they're being taken.
Wow.
And they want to try to get back to the agency. And, you know, part of the reason why that happens is actually, it's kind of a blessing and a curse because, they take really good care of children, generally in South Korea. That's, it's in the culture. They're good to the kids. And so these, orphans are really cared for very well and shown love and, they have a good life. So that's great. Cause I want him to get the best life he can until we get our hands on him. But you know, it's going to be tough for him to leave.
Of course. And talk me through a little bit. I'm very interested in like the logistics of this. Like, I know you mentioned South Korea. I, my understanding, and I have not read so much on this, but I've read a fair amount. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there are certain nations that it's basically like a diplomatic setup with different nations where they allow international adoptions, right?
Yeah, right.
And how did you come to choose the track you did? Because there's Eastern Europe, I'm aware, and I'm sure you researched all of it.
Yeah, we did. Well, one of the helpful aspects of the decision was that we weren't really interested in a baby. That's neither of us kind of had that desire to like have a newborn baby. So we were really hoping to get a child, like a toddler between like 1 and 2 years old. So, it turned out that South Korea was a country where that's really the only option. If you want to adopt from there, it's going to be between the ages of 1 and 2. They also have very strict guidelines for who can adopt. And again, it's because of just they're protecting their kids. And we luckily fit the criteria. You know, just like there's all sorts of weird things. I mean, right, there's some financial stuff, some even not financial, but just they want to make sure that both parents are working. Even if we made a shitload of money and one of us wasn't working, that didn't fit the bill, which is kind of interesting. And like, there's even weight requirements. Like they don't want very overweight people, to be adopting, which is kind of strange. You would never have thought that would be the case. I guess they're just like, they don't want these, you know, fat Americans coming and take their kids and bring them and raise unhealthy children. I'm not really sure.
That's an interesting note to take a pause. Let's everybody take a deep breath. Think about the previously unknown weight restriction for adoptions. And all of us consider our own life choices in the light of that. And let's wash off that feeling by hearing about some of the fine services and products that our sponsors are here to offer. Therapy can and should be affordable, confidential, and convenient. And this is exactly what Talkspace is. Only with Talkspace do you get unlimited messaging to your dedicated, licensed therapist for just $32 a week. Join over 300,000 users who already know that with Talkspace, you can text, audio message, or video message your therapist as many times as you want without having to wait a week for your next appointment. Because with Talkspace, your therapist is always in your pocket or on your computer. And now you can even schedule a live video session with your therapist right from your smartphone. Look, this is not ad copy. I see a therapist for many years. I love therapy. Anything that makes therapy more accessible and easier, I'm a big fan of, and that's why I'm such a huge supporter of Talkspace. You can help show support for this show by visiting Talkspace.com/beautiful for a special $30 discount off your first month, or download the Talkspace app on the Apple or Android App Store and use coupon code beautiful. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today. We all know we're coming up on that time of year, mindless gift-giving season. It's that awkward dance. You pass around those generic presents you purchased at those big box mega stores. You all know which ones I'm referring to. It's because you don't know where else to go, so you go last minute to these big stores. You just grab something everybody else is grabbing. But it doesn't have to be that way. This year, buy the gift that makes your friends and family say, "Where did you find this?" That's why I'm very happy to tell you about the Grommet, an online shop where you'll discover innovative products and gifts from small businesses. Grommet team has gone to the trouble finding the coolest, most unique quality gifts from throughout the country. This is not big box store stuff. It's not generic, okay? Actual gift items where people are putting thought behind them. I have used the Grommet. I loved my experience. I was clicking through. I went through the problem-solving section. I found a tripod, this like stand with moldable legs. You hook up a tablet to it. I put my iPad in it. I watch TV, and now I can just set this thing up and fall asleep without worrying about dropping my iPad out of the bed, shattering it. I use it literally every day. It's the best. TheGrommet.com has unique items across a variety of categories. Every weekday, they introduce a new product. On The Grommet, there's something for everybody. I can vouch for this. I found the thing for me on there, and I'm so happy with it. Especially, this is especially great when you have people in your life who are hard to buy for. This holiday season, give your gifts some thought. Visit thegrommet.com/beautiful. You'll receive $10 off your first $50 purchase. That's thegrommet.com, thegrommet.com/beautiful. Receive $10 off your $50 purchase, thegrommet.com/beautiful. I want to hear more from this caller. I need to know if I'm under the weight restriction on this one. Let's get back to it.
They're just like, they don't want these, you know, fat Americans coming and take their kids and
wow.
Bring them and raise unhealthy children. I'm not really sure.
And are these like specific mandates by the South Korean government about how they're willing to?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would imagine do people come and inspect your living situation?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And was actually a really crazy part of the process was the home study. Where it's like they'll have a social worker come and really kind of inspect your home and talk to you about, you know, really get into detail about your life and, you know, sort of, it was a little intimidating. You know, I'm a very private guy and did not enjoy the process of somebody coming into my home and, you know, worrying if we, you know, how we come across to a stranger, but actually it turned out to be, just fine. Cause it was the social worker was actually a really cool
wow.
Person and somebody that we're actually going to be working with in the future there. So the way it works is just to go on about logistics, at least for South Korea, you have a, part of the conditions of being able to do it is that you have a home study, and then a post placement, some sort of post-placement services. So the same adoption agency, the same social worker that worked with us with our home study is also going to meet with us once we have the kid and talk, you know, to sort of make sure the transition goes well. And, you know, and not so much, you know, following up and making sure we're doing the right thing, but more just to help us and support us and, you know, make it as smooth as possible. By the way, one other aspect of the deal that you might find interesting is, I had a kind of an issue with this was they wanted a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah.
And that, that's totally cool. You know, like I can understand that. They did that for a very specific sort of responding to a very specific, I guess some sort of, I don't know, something happened where a couple ended up, you know, losing it and a child got hurt or maybe even killed, or I don't know, it was some crazy thing. So they put in place this deal where you have to get a psychological evaluation, and the tests that they use are completely outdated. They're like nobody uses them anymore. None of the no psychologist who really is doing any good in this world is actually conducting these tests. It was just like,
is this
like
again via? Are these the South Korean government's requirements?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And like the questions would be, it would ask you like really straightforward questions like, oh no, they would be like true or false or yes or no. She'd be like, you know, true or false. When I go to the store, I enjoy going shopping at the grocery store. Yes or no. I like to sit and chat with my friends. Yes or no. I hear voices and I scream at night. Yes or no. They like sneak in these like really extreme questions about.
So it's like multiple choice gotcha questions. It's multiple choice gotcha questions. It's do you enjoy sports? Right. Do you enjoy time with your family? Have you ever thought about snuffing out human life because you are an all-knowing, you are an all-knowing God and life should work on your terms?
You got it. Yeah. Wow. So I just thought that was kind of crazy, but we got through it. And
that's cool. I'd be disqualified. I feel like there's so many reasons. Can I tell you some aspects of my life and you'll tell me if I would be disqualified based on what you know so far?
Please.
I'm on antidepressants.
Yeah, right away we might have an issue there, Chris.
Just make a buzzer noise.
Right.
I'm 5 foot seven. I'm floating somewhere around 160. You think I'm in the weight range or?
You're doing good. That's fine.
Ding 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 ding. That one's good.
Yeah, you got it.
Let's see. I live in a one bedroom. Big time.
Sorry,
right?
Buddy.
You gotta either buy a new place or I'd have to get some renovations done, huh?
Yeah, one of the two.
Wow. Let's see. What other aspects of my life? I'm currently doing an off-Broadway show about times I've tried to commit suicide. Publicly speaking very often about my suicidal tendencies.
Well, you know, that might count as your psychiatric evaluation, for better or for worse.
I'm sure that's what they want to see.
So
you making a comedy show at the age of 36 about.
Well, you would probably agree that I guess I would say that would qualify you. That's a successful psychiatric evaluation if you've made some beautiful art out of your experience.
Well, that's very kind of you, but I don't know if the social worker.
South Korean government is,
South Korean government doesn't look too kindly on off-Broadway shows from what I am gathering. How about this one? I'm a professional comedian who travels a lot, and most of my income is inconsistent year-to-year 1099 income.
I feel like you could frame that a little bit differently, but
I have to say? What would I have to say? How do I get around that one? Walk me through this.
I don't know. I would imagine that there's a stability in your financial situation, given the success that you could easily demonstrate from social media.
Is that what you imagine about? Is that what you're envisioning about my life? Oh, really? Because here's my opinion, and I hope the South Korean government never hears this. Everything good could go away tomorrow, and it all showed up yesterday. 15 years of working before this podcast dropped out of the sky out of nowhere. Man. Thank God for Ira Glass. Let's just all say that. Thank God for Ira Glass.
Oh, I don't know, Chris. I think I think you're looking good.
Hey,
what do I know?
Well, I'm glad that's the perception from the outside. No, I'm doing better. I'll say that. I'm doing better.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Yeah,
that's good. Now, here's a question. Are there any disqualifiers that you found to be pretty surprising or that are like very common things? Like, are there things that people listening to this might hear and go like, holy shit, that I would get disqualified because of that? Are there any things that are like super common?
I think the whole weight deal is kind of ridiculous and sort of unrealistic and definitely surprising. I was very surprised to hear that. I mean, my wife and I, we're in fine shape, but I'll tell you, depending on the month, who knows, you know? So I don't know what my...
Did you have to like...
You know, your BMI, like, I don't even know what my BMI was until they asked me that.
Did you like have to hit
about it. I just felt like...
You hitting the treadmill? You're like, I think I'll put down the Hostess cupcakes this month?
Oh, yeah.
Really? You had to work out to maintain your body mass index.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we, both my wife and I started upping our gym time just for that reason alone.
Wow.
Like, even if it's accepted, like right now we're definitely getting this child. I shouldn't say that like that without knocking wood or something, but I mean, it's looking good. You know, we don't have to qualify for anything anymore.
Sure.
But even so, like the idea that this culture would frown upon a little cuddly, you know, pudge, in such a way that it would prevent a couple from adopting a child. You know, that's a little surprising. And so I just, you know, when we do go to Korea, I think we just don't want people to look at us funny, which is a terrible way to feel. I'll say it's not a strong, you know, feeling that's like in the back of our minds, but it's definitely there.
Of course.
Just like, man, these guys,
these guys
are really concerned about the,
Well, look, we call it cuddly pudge. What we call cuddly pudge, the rest of the world calls American excess in action.
Right.
Cuddly pudge, as we all commonly refer to it, cuddly pudge.
Yeah, it's cuddly pudge. I think that may be the first time I've ever said cuddly pudge.
I would have to imagine. I can't imagine. I would imagine if you walked around using the word cuddly pudge really often, the South Korean government would have disqualified you long ago. They were just like, this guy seems cool enough, but he keeps dropping the phrase cuddly pudge. I don't think that's a real thing.
Yeah. It just doesn't sound right.
But you'd have nights where you're like, you know what, to the waitress, you're like, I'll have the side salad instead of the fries. I'm adopting.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about going, did you look into any of the other countries? Did you see like the benefits and drawbacks?
We did look at China and we didn't really look at any place else very seriously. Russia had just recently closed its doors to adoption because of policy, because of the Olympics. I don't know if you heard about that, but apparently because of the controversy with, I don't know too much of the detail, except that it had to do with Russia being unfair or, not wanting homosexual athletes to perform, or I actually don't know the details, but there was an issue there with the Olympics where Russia was just like, all right, screw you, we're closing our doors to adoption, we don't want to have anything to do with the United States.
So there was some gamesmanship.
I hope what I just said is not completely off base, because I'll feel like an idiot.
No, I remember hearing vaguely the same thing, and I also think you've so clearly. Like said it in a way that was clearly you're trying to get your man. I don't think anybody's going to judge you or be offended. Right. And I think at the end of the day, what we know most of all is Russia in particular hates cuddly pudge.
Yeah. I don't know what their policy is exactly, but I suspect it would be a problem.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, man. So are you ready to, how much notice do you get? Is it like you might get a call that's like be in Seoul in 2 days?
The soonest would be probably a month's notice.
A month's, okay. So you can like let the job know, you can organize, get the tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, for sure. The only problem, of course, is, it's not a problem, but the anxiety, the difficulty of it is more of the, part of it is the traveling. It's going to be kind of crazy, just kind of wild, but kind of fun experience, kind of an adventure, you know, but, it's really the life change that I think is so hard to grasp without a, a date, without a, with only a kind of a vague range of when things could change. Because we feel like we're in limbo. We feel like, you know, there's
I've never thought about that.
There's it's tricky. And
are you like,
and it, you know,
I would say, like, I don't think you should say it because it's weird to talk about a kid on the show. But like, have you picked out a name for your son yet?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've got a name. We've got the bedroom. His bedroom is sort of, I mean, it's not completely put together, but, you know, we painted it and we got these like kids decals on the wall. Wow. Like, it's obviously a kid's room when you walk into it.
So you're like already living this life where you've adjusted for this theoretical kid and you're in this halfway point. That's right. I've never even thought about that.
It's like nothing I've ever experienced or really even thought about. And honestly, when everyone was saying, oh, the hardest part is the weight. And I heard that like when we were dealing with all the paperwork. And at that time, and I mean, I'm not kidding about the paperwork. It sucks. It's like, you know, five copies of things that need to be notarized in several places. And then you do that 10 times. And then, you know, you have to go get your fingerprints done. You know, we did that. I think we got our fingerprints taken like three or four times in different places in our area because they had to be at a specific location where we got them done. And just like all these logistics that are just annoying and make, you know, this is stressful. And so when I heard, oh, the hardest part is when you're just, you don't have anything to do and you're just sitting around waiting for your, for the call that you're going to be going to get your tile. I was like, bullshit, that'll be fine. I don't even mind the wait. I could use the extra time to get things done and, you know, do all the, get my projects taken care of and kind of whatever, all these things that'll be more difficult once I have a child. And there's plenty of those things in my life. But it's true that this is easily worse than any of the other stuff that we've done because, I mean, that, well, you know, there's the life change and then there's also the idea that, I mean, sometimes I go for a walk with my dog and sometimes I kind of let my mind wander and I, you know, imagine where I'm walking and sort of zoom out, you know, kind of do a, if I'm in a good space, like a meditative state, I'll kind of like watch myself as I, you know, get further and further away from the earth, like Google Earth or something, you know, and it's like, wow, yeah, I'm walking in this beautiful field. And then I start thinking about where my son is in relation to where I am and how fast I'm getting to where I'm going, just walking, and that he's literally on the other side of the earth. And that I feel like I would kill for this kid and I haven't seen him and I don't know when I'm going to see him. It's fucking hard.
Hell of an image right there. A kid on the other side of the earth and you're just waiting. I agree with our caller. That is hard. It's an emotional thing to think about. And I think it's worth taking a break. Let's go ahead. We'll hear from our sponsors and we'll be right back with more of that caller to hear how he's handling all of this. You know, trips to the post office, probably you don't even think about them. Second nature to you. And they seem easy because you've been doing your mailing and shipping that way for so long. Your whole life. You don't even realize things could be better. I mean, think about all the hassle. You're dropping what you're doing. You're driving to the post office. You got to find parking just so you can get in there, wait on lines. There is a much better way. Stamps.com. Stamps.com is the easy and convenient way to get postage right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer, your own printer. Stamps.com, there is no guesswork. They make it easy to get exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, the instant you need it. No expensive postage meters to lease, no more trips to the post office. You got to try it. I am a Stamps.com user. It's a service that has, it saves you so much time, so much effort. You get these things done at home. You do it on your own terms. You cannot argue with that. We're living in a modern world. Why are we still going to the post office like we used to in the old days? It's not the old days anymore. Sign up for Stamps.com and use our promo code BEAUTIFUL for this special offer. You get a four-week trial. You get a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. You click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in BEAUTIFUL. That is Stamps.com. Enter BEAUTIFUL. No need to dilly-dally. I want to know how this guy's doing. I want to know how his family life is restructuring. I want to know how his world is changing. More call, Beautiful Anonymous.
And I haven't seen him, and I don't know when I'm going to see him.
So you've seen...
It's fucking hard.
Like, to what level have you interacted with the... Have you seen pictures? Do you Skype? Do you... Like, in what ways?
We've got pictures, and they do send us... They've sent video twice where we've had, like, at his one-year birthday, we got a little bit of video, and then at about a year and a half, 18 months, we got, most recently, we got another set of videos, and those were actually really awesome to see, and also really kind of bittersweet, because this, he looks great, you know, we were kind of worried, like, you don't know what you're going to expect when you see a video of we hadn't seen him. This would be 6 months of development. It's like, well, is he developing okay? Does he have any problems? Is he happy? What's his personality like? What's he going to be like? And so, you know, we're sort of press play and just like held our breath. And we were so happy to see that he was just a really sweet kid, really happy, huge smile and strong, you know, like playing with toys and like lifting him over these big toys over his head and just thrilled to see. But then also, you know, it's like, yeah, there's like a point where he's with his foster mother and they're just playing or whatever. And then he like kind of scoots over and sits on her lap. And it's like really sweet, but man, that got, you know, it's like a twinge in your heart. It's like, man, I'm so jealous of that woman right now. I can't even breathe.
Yeah.
You know, just to not have him is just such a weird thing. But I'll tell you, it's also beautiful because I never knew that I'd be able to have these feelings for someone that I never met,
yeah,
or that doesn't know me. I mean, that's that just says something, I think, about I don't know, I guess about love.
Yeah.
But it's special.
Are they like, is he 2 years old means he's starting to develop language? Is he learning Korean? Do they make an effort to teach him any English since they know he'll be coming to America? Or I would imagine there's some issues there too.
Yeah, definitely issues there. He probably knows a couple Korean words, and I actually work for a language center. I shouldn't say much more than that, but I work at a language center at a university somewhere, and it's so I have access to Korean teachers and resources. So I've been learning. My wife and I have both been learning a little bit of Korean, mostly just to be able to interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like you know, how to say milk or water, or you know, if you're, you know, he's hungry or something, so we can understand his basic vocabulary. Which is, I think, pretty minimal at this point. But I don't think he's learning too much English, although they encouraged us to send a picture book where it's pictures of us with our dogs and our friends and stuff, and then they like look at the book with him and point us out and say, that's mom and dad. So hopefully, actually, not sure if they say that in English or Korean, but I have a feeling it's in English, just so that he has a sense,
yeah,
of you know, who we are ahead of time. Well, one other really cool thing that I didn't expect, that was kind of a neat idea, was they've got you know, these books that you can record your voice onto. So we got that one of those children's books where you can do that. And so my wife and I just took turns reading page after page. And so now he has a book where we're reading to him. And so he can turn the pages, and every page he gets to hear our voice. So,
wow, that's cool.
So that could be cool.
And do you know much about, yeah, do you know much about your son's background? Do you know about his birth parents at all, or do they not tell you any of that?
They do tell a bit, as much as they sort of get just from interviewing the parents, you know, when they get brought in. But actually, the deal was, for him, his parents they actually wanted, or the mother wanted, to try to make a go of it and see if they could raise him. But I guess the father wasn't really into it and wasn't sort of emotionally available for it. And she couldn't do it by herself. So she felt compelled to give him up.
Wow.
So, you know, it's sad. You know, it's tough to think about her. We actually, one of the things that they have you do, which I think is a really great idea, they ask you to write a letter to the mother, just kind of introducing yourself and, you know, expressing anything that you want to express. And then they translate it into Korean and share it with her. And,
wow.
You know, we made a point of saying that we really felt honored to be able to take him and give him a good life, and tried to really reassure her that we would do that. And that we would, you know, do our best to give him the best life possible.
Yeah. And is he going to learn Korean? What do you have a plan for, like, his relationship with his home country and his background in that sense as well?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think, we're going to focus more on English than Korean. I mean, we'll just use Korean to kind of, survive the first couple of weeks or whatever, and really focus more on English. And then we're definitely going to honor his culture. You know, we've got, even just in some of the decorating in his room and books, and, you know, there's like this, Korean cartoon that's really popular that we've got books and toys and stuff that he'll definitely recognize, because we've seen them in his the videos that we've gotten. So hopefully that'll help him out a little bit. And then certainly when he's older, we're definitely going to be all about helping him connect with that. In fact, my wife and I both work at a university, and there's a great program where they actually match up adopted kids from other countries with people who are visiting from that country, like grad students and stuff. So kind of like a big brother program, big brother, big sister
Oh, wow.
program, but for, you know, adopted kids who don't have a connection to their culture. So that could be really cool.
That's awesome.
We'll definitely be doing that.
Sounds like you've thought about all
and
of
someday,
it.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, we'd love to take him to Korea someday, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of a cultural visit, whatever.
Hey,
we want to respect that as much as we can.
Definitely. What was your relationship with your parents like?
Well, I have I had a really, I would say, lovely childhood. I mean, my parents were definitely supportive. My mom is a social worker. My father passed away when I was relatively young, in my when I was in college.
I'm sorry.
And that was played a big role for me in who I am, I think. And sort of my, you know, I went through a bit of a dark time after he passed away, when I was still young enough to be self-destructive and get away with it. But in terms of my youth, like when I was very young, we really had it made. I really can't complain. My only complaint is actually something that I've been thinking about a lot, which is a complaint I kind of have with a little bit of a issue I have with my dad, who it didn't really hit me until I was older, but I sort of have recently realized how little he prepared us for being like a homeowner, or like kind of, he never taught us to like fix anything. We never, you know, I had friends who like would learn, their dads would like, they'd work on cars, or they would do whatever. And I was sort of raised to be a nerd, which turned out okay. But there's definitely an aspect of, I mean, I don't know. I guess part of me is like, I want to teach my son how to do these sort of things that are, I'll be honest with you, Chris, I'm not going to bullshit. I'm going to say that I feel like I don't want to deny that sense that teaching him some of these things, which identify as being manly.
Sure.
You know, there's like what does it mean to be a man? And I know, you know, it's not like there's men's work and women's work and all that bullshit, but there's definitely a thing where it's assumed that, you know, if there's a something broken in the house or something needs to be fixed or built, I'm the first person that's looked to. I mean, it's just sort of assumed. And I know that's not always the case, but I feel like it's important to me that I give him the tools that are necessary to survive. And I think that's part of survival, is knowing how to do some of that stuff. And I had to learn it kind of on my own. But I've been thinking about that a little bit. And I start, sometimes I think like, well, am I going to like force these like, you know, roles on him? Like, you know, in order to be a man, you have to be able to work a wrench or whatever bullshit. But the truth is, I feel the same way about cooking. I want him to.
Yeah,
I love to cook.
I'm sure if you were adopting a daughter, there'd be a whole different perspective. And it's not. You don't sound like a dude who's like You don't sound like a dude who's like got 50s values of manhood and womanhood.
Yeah, no,
you're not
no,
coming
no.
off like that. But I understand what you mean. I'll tell you on my end. I fixed the toilet this week. I've never felt better about myself in my life. Watched a YouTube tutorial by myself. I didn't even call my dad. I didn't even mess it up. I got a tankless toilet. I was so confused. Watched the tutorial, opened up the thing, removed the one thing that I think was called a flange, wiped it down, found the little hole in the rubber part, and then the toilet stopped flushing on its own all the time. I felt great.
Yeah, nice.
Thanks.
It's awesome. It's a good feeling, isn't it? When you do it yourself, you figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
It's extra special when you learn it on your own.
Oh, yeah. I mean, YouTube tutorials are a game changer in all of our lives. I didn't even know the top thing on that toilet removed, and I got out a wrench. I opened it up. There was all this stuff in there. It looked just like the thing I had seen in the YouTube tutorial. Did what they said. Boom. My wife was very impressed. Every day since it's happened, I will say out loud to her at some point, I fixed the toilet. I say that out loud every day. It's been like 4 days. I've said it at least once every day. I fixed the toilet.
You've got at least 3 days left of that where you can still say it. Keep it going. You deserve it.
Yeah. That being said, I also recently broke the shower, so I guess it all evens out.
I get you. I understand.
Well, hey, man, we got like 10 minutes
YouTube
left.
YouTube is.
We got 10 minutes left.
Well, I was just going to ask you, talking about YouTube, that I was just thinking as you were saying about how now with YouTube, you can kind of learn to do whatever you want. I totally agree. Like, I mean, really anything. I've been building one of the issues with our home study was that we've got this, our banister, like on the stairwell, was this really crappy, like wrought iron, way too short. The spindles were like too far apart where a kid would very easily get his head stuck in it. So they told us that we had to replace that or do something, put up a gate there or whatever.
They said the South Korean government will not abide by this banister. The South Korean government demands a higher quality banister.
Will not fly. No. So I decided to build it myself, like a wooden stairwell, you know, like the banister and the railings and all that stuff. And I mean, I'm still finishing it up now. It's taken me like probably 10 times longer than, you know, someone who knew what they were doing would do. But I figured it out, and so much of it was YouTube. And I started getting excited about working with wood, and I'm like, oh, I want to build a wood shop and like build more things for this kid. I want to, you know, build him a bed or build him a bookshelf or whatever. It's such a good feeling.
So have you started
looking?
Are so many of your decisions right now framed around this kid, like in a way they wouldn't have been before?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And see, that's part of the anxiety is that I know that that's supposed to be the case, but there are certain aspects of our life that, you know, we're getting to the habits. Like, for example, the best thing right now for our child and us as a family would be to not go out to eat at all and just cook every night, be frugal, save our money, you know, not go out drinking or not go. And man, it's hard. I
like when they bring it to you.
It's like our favorite thing in the world.
You're like,
I love it. I mean, I love cooking.
You know what you like better than cooking? You like sitting down at a table, looking your wife dead in the eye and saying, you know what? I'm going to spring for an appetizer tonight. You like that even better.
Exactly.
I'm going to get the spring rolls.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get
it. Damn right, I'm going to get the spring rolls. And whatever the hell else. I'm really bad about that. About that. That's like a particular issue that's actually
spring rolls?
Really a glaring problem for me. I just can't get it together. So
well, we've all struggled with spring rolls.
An example where it's like, yeah. Sorry?
We've all struggled with spring rolls from time to time in our life, for sure.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, but anyway, what I was saying before about the, woodworking is that I started realizing there's all these videos about, how to build whatever. And they build them really quickly. Like you'll see it happen in 30 seconds. They'll build whatever. So they just speed it up real quick. And, you don't get all the subtleties of it, but you start to see how things are done. Like, oh, that's how they put those two pieces together. Oh, okay. Well, that's the kind of tool that I would need in order to even start a project like this. And you start thinking about what a resource that is for us now. And it's sort of like for us, like for you and I, people our age, I think I'm probably older than you, but I think it's sort of like, wow, I'm so amazed. I can learn anything I want to. But most young people are sort of used to this. This is their life. They know that if they need information, they can sort of fill their brain up by, searching for it. And I've just been thinking about that. Like what's life going to be like for my son who can develop any skill that he can think of really without any problem. Like the resources are there, they're free. He can learn anything he wants, how to cook anything, how to make anything, how to build whatever he wants to. And it just kind of blows my mind when I think about that and how intense that's going to be in say 20 years.
So you're seeing this like whole world of potential that is open to your son, and you don't even have your son in your house yet.
Imagine what virtual reality is going to be like for a kid in 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can like the information that you get about your toilet, that you get that by just experiencing an actual toilet in front of you, like everything's, instead of hoping that you get the right model on YouTube, you get the exact model that's in your house. You get, you get a professional quality education piped into your brain through some sort of crazy interface that we can't even imagine.
Yeah, man, we're going to have wires hanging out of our ears.
Exactly.
So 5 minutes left. I'm going to ask you an emotional question. You an emotional question.
Oh, please.
There's this little boy on the other side of the world. And you don't know when, but sometime soon he's headed to you. What are your hopes? What are the hopes? What are the goals here? How do you think, where do you want this to go?
Well, I guess the probably the most important thing I can think of, that I would want for him would be that he loves himself. I think at the most basic, I want him to be able to look in the mirror and feel real love. And I don't know. I want him to, I'll tell you, I want him to know about the trauma in some form or another, not right away, but at some point I want him to know of how difficult it was for my wife and I to go through something like a miscarriage. I want him to know about how crazy and painful life can be, but I want him to know that all that craziness is the best thing, that is very likely the greatest thing that could happen in his life. Like, it's funny. I asked my wife when we were texting back and forth as I was sort of freaking out, waiting on hold for you. And I said, is there anything you want him to, is there anything you want to say to Chris? And, I'm just going to tell you what she said, cause it includes, it touches on what I've just said. She said, you can tell people that more people should talk about themselves because everyone is special and has a story. She also said that miscarriages should not be secrets. And this is the one that I was really thinking of, is that shitty stuff means to force you on a new path. And she also wrote that your wife loves you to pieces and people are sick of our undying love. So my wife and I have a great relationship and we share a lot of love. And I think the most I could ask for in life is that this kid knows that feeling and knows it for himself and really feels it. And that's what I want for him.
That was a good answer. I asked an emotional question thinking I was going to get you choked up, and instead you come back at me with simple poetry from the heart.
Well, it's where it's at. All right, we're in this beautiful space that's also really fucking hard. So it's I don't know, a unique space, a waiting space, my wife calls it.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it sounds so much like you and your wife are on the same page, even though you said it put some strain in there. It sounds like you're back on the same page. It sounds like this kid's going to walk into a really happy life and that you've thought really hard about all the different ways that it can go. That's about the best you can do, right? That seems to me to be exactly the type of thought, effort, and consideration that the South Korean government was looking for in the first place.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
And we know this kid ain't going to have to deal with no hashtag cuddly pudge in his life either. Because you know what the only cuddly pudgy heart part of you is? Your heart.
What's that?
Your heart. You got cuddly pudge in your heart. I blew that joke. I accidentally said the word heart in the setup for my big joke, and I blew it. But that's okay. But it sounds like it sounds to me like you're going to be a good dad.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, man.
I appreciate that. I really do. It means a lot.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really know you, so could be totally wrong, but. No. Just based on this.
Yeah, no, this could be, based on...
You could be tricking all of us. You could just be a psychopath who's just keeping it really calm right now. You could be a total crackpot. I don't know.
I collect Korean children.
Oh, no. Why'd you say that? Oh, no. I hope they don't ever find this.
No, I think we're good. We're anonymous.
Yeah.
I can joke.
Yes.
You hear that, Korea? I'm joking. Kidding.
Well, listen, man, we're about to get cut off. Thanks for the call. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Thanks for everything you do.
Wow, I gotta say, I did not see that coming at the end. I collect South Korean children, a very serious and heartfelt call the entire time, and then what a joke to throw in. And that was so clearly a joke. So please, 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 let's not use any voice matching technology to disqualify that kind man. I hope everything goes so well for you, caller, with your wife and your son and your future all together. I got to thank you for calling. I got to thank everybody for listening. I got to thank so many people for making this show happen, including a new father in his own right, the Reverend John Delore, Greta Cohn, Zach Dinerstein, Shell Shag, the intro music and all the music in this. Support Shell Shack. Want to know more about me? ChrisGeth.com, as well as CareerSuicideShow.com, New York Times critic pick, my show. Remember, if you like Beautiful Anonymous, subscribe to it and rate and review on iTunes. It helps so much. Thank you guys so much. This has been Beautiful Anonymous. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, landmark episode, co-host, comedy superstar Hannibal Buress, one of the best in the game. He's in here in the booth with me. We're experimenting. Don't miss the experiment.
There's like a meeting where all the teachers go through all the work that you do during the year, and they're like, they just, and then in that moment, it's your welcome back next year or not.
Oh, wow. That sucks. That sounds so horrible.
And the
That should be a podcast.
They put it out once a year, a recording of these adults judging teens. Adults judge teens would be a great. I would listen to that podcast.
I would listen to it. I would subscribe and have it autoplay in my home.
You don't want to miss that. It's me and Hannibal and a caller on the next Beautiful Anonymous.
Hey guys, it's Franklin Leonard, and we are back with another amazing season of The Blacklist Table Reads. We have so many ear movies for you this season and some fantastic talent at the helm. There is Paul Scheer starring in an insane action comedy.
Soak it in, chucklehead. It's your last dance.
A dark new take on the story of Frankenstein with the incredible Joanne Froggatt.
It was the intoxication of your words that's kept me so tied to you, Mary.
And Aisha Tyler in AI apocalyptic sci-fi.
My name is Maggie. Mine is the story of great loss.
Plus interviews with our leads, writers, and much, much more. So listen in, subscribe to The Blacklist Table Reads right here on Earwolf.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.